B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Who died? A death song.
It's a great song.
It's like that, but it's like a downer thing.
This is...
Just sit in the dark room with myself. Everything's coming down around me. I want to paint my walls black.
Why are you ruining
sit this? Alone with you.
Now, this used to be played in the stadium many moons ago. I don't know if they still do. Artie, the playlist in stadium in the late 90s was just whatever was on BCN.
Nice.
It's then what went on in the stadium.
Right.
There was that very close tie-in to the presentation of the Patriots.
WBCN. That's a tough gig, man. You're trying to appeal to a wide audience playing the music at Gillette.
Not back then. It's a little more diverse now than it was then.
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
now,
there are a lot of women
now
in now.
It's tough.
There
are a lot of women.
Hardy, you know how much my season tickets were the final year of old Foxborough Stadium?
Still white trash. I'm sorry. Come on.
How much?
$31 times 10 games. $310 for the season.
Jim, how many women would you see on an average game at Foxborough Stadium?
You'd see some in September, 1 o'clock game, September. When the Dolphins, when Marino was in town, the females were always there.
All you have to do is play the Days of Confused soundtrack and just let the place lights up, or just play like Jump Around. It's not like, okay, play this. Oh wow, yeah. Look, they like that.
But right. You got to come up with a lot of songs.
And then they named it.
You just named a total of 13 songs.
I'd assume the players pick the pregame because like you want to warm up to what you want to warm up to, and that's
okay.
Cool.
Okay,
I mean, you get a lot of hip hop in there, and I think it's all good. You get some of that good stuff in there, like the Rick Ross stuff. I dig it, but then like it becomes okay. Now it's a canvas you have to paint for four quarters. Reactionary to big plays is a defensive play. Is offensive plays different than defensive plays? And it's sort of a back and forth.
The media.
But it just seems to me that like the Bon Jovi thing, it works.
The media has assembled.
Def Leppard works.
In the press conference room in Foxborough.
Well, they have.
It's packed. There are, by my count, 13 television
Jesus.
Cameras. 13 of those. Other smaller digital cameras are on stands as well, but there are 13 TV stations.
You get that from Volan's tweet?
Yeah.
And let's pay attention. The Friday press conference is generally a little lighter anyway.
Yes.
But the Friday before a big game, you'll see a different Bill Belichick today. Long answers. You'll actually
Respectful. Border
on polite, you know,
he's ready, like an actual human person.
When he's answering questions.
Yep.
It's a different vibe on these press conferences.
Every single person in the room is on their phone. Looking down at their phone.
Look who's
including Mike Reese, who's front and center.
Front and center. What time do you think he got there?
6 a.m. And, you know, you've got your usual suspects.
Look at Bennetton on the right, holding court, just turned around, talking to everybody. And they're all staring at their phones.
Tim McCone in the back. You see Tim McCone back right.
He's probably getting ready for the 6 o'clock news.
Yep.
Doug Kide.
He's doing the camera.
Prompter.
McCone's doing the camera.
Yeah, he does it all.
Excuse
Remember
me.
That time he did that interview with Brad Stevens and the tape wasn't rolling? And he continued the interview for 15 minutes, knowing that it wasn't being recorded. How unprofessional. Were you here for that story?
I was not.
Oh, so McCone told us that he did an interview with Brad Stevens a couple years back where he knew that the camera, once he started taping the interview, he knew the camera was busted and there was no, like, memory card in it. And he realized it a couple, like, a minute into the interview. And instead of stopping the interview and saying, Brad, I'm sorry, this isn't going to work, and letting him go and not wasting his time, he did like a full 15-minute fake interview with Brad Stevens.
What a loser. Okay, I got one story like
that. Can you
that.
Imagine that?
My first year doing the color, they give me that, what's that thing called, Amber? Recorder. There's a name for it.
Recorder.
Marantz.
Marantz. Marass. I want to nickname it the Marass.
Yeah, good nickname.
So I go in. We're down at Baltimore on the road, first road game. And I got coach. You know how valuable coach is time, isn't it?
And again, we're waiting on Bill Belichick.
They move coach to a room. Okay, there's his handlers. Boom. Okay, Scott, boom. You go. You got 7 minutes. Go. We do the interview. I go back. I'm checking it. I'm like, oh, my God, I didn't press record. So then I got to get it to Capella, and then he's got to request a team that I find more time to go back down to do the same interview again with Bill. That was a bad day. He was very good. I said, I'm so sorry. He said, don't worry about it. It happens all the time. Okay. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Yeah.
Nope. I never told him it was. He goes, it's your first time. Don't worry about it. We'll get it. Same course. Let's go. Go.
He seems like the kind of like, don't make the same mistake twice kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it never
Second time, he would ream you out, probably.
Yeah, what are you, like, yeah exactly. Like, what are you doing? Or wasting my time. You're wasting your time. You know? You want to stand here and wait for me? Which you have to do sometimes. Holding pattern. Like, Sunday, I have him, I think, at 10 o'clock. So, tape it for the pregame. So, I got to get there early. I'm going to beat Reese here.
No, you're not.
Look at Reese. He's all dressed. No, it's like picture day for Reese.
Bill's going to talk at any minute. Any moment, he'll be up at the podium, and we'll have it as soon as he does. Joe's in the car. Go ahead, Joe.
All right, real quick, guys. Question for Zoe. This is a technical question. Rivers seems to, at least to me, to have this weird sidearm throwing motion. I don't know if that's I'm imagining that or
no.
If that's true. And if it is true, is that something that we can exploit during the game?
I don't think so, because, I mean, you're 15, 16 years into it with him, with Phil. And, you know, we told the story the other day of Norm Chow having him down at NC State. And he calls Mike Holmgren, and he's bitching about... And he's kind of got an uncanny low delivery. It's not sidearm. It's more three-quarter. And Holmgren asked him, is he throwing incomplete passes? Did he throw picks? Said, nope. He said, don't change anything. Is he good?
Yeah.
Leave him.
But he does throw picks. And he might throw a pick on Sunday.
Well, what you can't.
I heard Ted. Okay. Did you hear Ted yesterday?
I did. Ted was really good. He's really good with him.
So Ted came with a laundry list of reasons why the Patriots will win the game.
Mm-hmm.
One of them that was an actual football reason was Philip Rivers has the tendency to throw a pick.
Yeah.
I think that's gotten better with Anthony Lynn, though, and he's actually talked about it. That
well, I think that's why they're so conservative, too.
Second half, yes. I think that's all sort of tied in together, that Anthony Lynn has said, let's take you out of situations where you feel the need to, Jim, take shots down the field.
Yeah.
And you get yourself into trouble and you throw picks when you're doing that. They've tried to get him away from doing that to eliminate the turnovers. But he still has the tendency to throw a pick.
I talked
and
about
if,
this.
And if he's going to do that, you're going to be ready to make a play.
Yeah, and I talked about this with somebody this week.
You got to get the lead for that, though, right?
I know they're big. Like, I know they're big on the outside, 6'4", 6'5".
Maybe.
If you don't put the ball at helmet level or above, you know what I'm saying? It's great to have 6'4", 6'5", wide receivers. You throw it at their chest or their belt, that does you no good as a quarterback. That doesn't help you. Why don't we talk about Gronkowski when he's into it, the catch radius, right? Put the ball up 3 feet up and behind him. Nobody can get it but him. See, if he doesn't do that, if he throws the ball belt level or keeps it down, you can make a play on balls. Doesn't matter how tall those guys are. So, could be part of wanting to limit him. Now, where you can take advantage of that, if you're not able to push the pocket and you're having struggles getting there, it's like guys like Trey Flowers. Trey Flowers, real savvy at this stuff. You know, that push, you duck down, then you get up and you bat a ball. That's where you could get a deflection. You get a pick off a deflection.
Kristen's in Medford. Hi, Kristen. Hello?
Yeah.
She hung up.
Oh.
Call us back. We're waiting on Bill Belichick. Since you wanted to defend women going to the Patriots games.
Who did?
Kristen in Medford did.
Yeah.
I don't know why you need to defend anybody.
Yeah.
We just mentioned they weren't there much
in the
90s.
Yeah, let me just make something entirely clear. There's no criticism of women there for
not going to
those games.
It's just saying what was predominant.
Because... I mean, quite frankly, that scene down there was not...
Criticize people who did go to the games.
Oh, yeah. That was sort of my criticism.
No offense.
The animals that went to the games in the 90s. Like,
when I was turning around...
So,
no, you're right.
The animals in the stands.
When I was turning around yelling back at the ones that were catcalling us, I was never turning around yelling back at women. It was all drunk men. Yeah.
So they were always yelling for you to go in the game.
Right. No, but there were times.
It was those terrible.
You suck, Bledsoe, and I turn around. You suck too.
It was a bleep show down there.
I remember. I told you, sir. I remember running up the tunnel right behind Drew and they're all boo. And I'm like, yeah, those aren't Drew's. Those are boos. They're boo. And I look up and I peek and I'm smiling. You suck too. What are you laughing at? God dang. Tough crowd. Tough crowd. Then you start yelling back at them. I'll bug you when you're flipping burgers and I'm putting my order in.
Oh!
We got a couple of those.
Mini Keith Folk over here. Johnny from Burger King. We got a Johnny from Burger King comment.
Yeah, but the touchdowns in the parking lot's a much better comment.
That was a good one.
How many touchdowns did you throw in the parking lot today?
Did you tell your boy Anthony? Did you tell him bang a left at the Porter John? Hang and do a button hook at the hibachi and you're going to get him a little look in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go back and forth with this guy. This is in Foxborough, too.
And you asked him, and the line was, how many touchdowns did you throw in the
Where'd you get your ball at? Did you get Kmart? Yeah, Target wasn't open yet. So what was it? Walmart or Kmart? You get that rubber ball. Yeah? Grip it better, huh? Yeah. Get the one with the half stripes.
Could you ever imagine that happening now?
No.
Never in a million years would that happen.
Hey. Are you yelling back at somebody?
No. I mean, there's just so much distance between the stands and where the players are. Back then, you're right. You were right on top of them.
You can't even hear anybody talking there. But it happened in Baltimore last week. They were getting on Lamar Jackson. And who was that came to his defense? Start screaming back at the crowd.
Oh, Jimmy Smith. Yeah,
Jimmy Smith. Guys, remember how we got here? Leave him alone. You know? Denver was the worst. The old Mile High. They were literally right here where we are, and the stands were right here. You could touch them. And the one guy that was always behind us was the barrel guy. Guy was always butt naked, but he had that barrel.
The barrel.
And the
suspenders.
Suspenders. That was our best game ever, and they stopped doing it. They had the monkeys riding dogs at halftime.
Yeah, we know you like those.
Oh, that's my favorite part about going to Denver. We'd sit there and laugh our ass. That monkey's screaming. He's holding on to him, strapped in. And that dog's like, it's trying to get up. The back end's moving one way. Front's all crazy. Those animals are a little hat. Monkey's got a little cowboy hat on and them stirrups, and he's hanging on because he doesn't want to fall off. Whew. Whoever did that was brilliant.
Whoever invented that.
Then we were out there, and I was like, Bob, you're going to love this halftime, man. It's awesome. Our first time calling a game out there. And they switched it up, and they had, like, the Verve through halftime.
Right.
It was awful. Awful.
No monkeys on a dog.
Where's the monkeys?
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Mike is in Weymouth. What's up, Mike?
Mikey.
What's going on, guys? What's up, Sol?
What's up?
So I remember I was at the game where Bledsoe got hurt and Brady took over, but the part that was most familiar to me was, so that game, Tom Tupa, you know, former Patriot, was shanking punts the whole game. So right afterwards, everybody was letting him have it as he got off the field. They were on top of him screaming how it's like, we could have gotten you out of here so much earlier if you could just punt the freaking ball. It was the best.
That's good. Poor Tupa. Best guys I ever played with.
Tupa was still around in 2001.
He's on a Jets that time. Mo Lewis. That's a Mo Lewis game.
Oh, okay. So yeah. I'm like, he wasn't playing for the Patriots.
Remember Meyer sucked so bad they put Tupa in? When Vinny's Achilles popped? Yeah, Tupa ended up playing a little bit there. I think they put Ray Lewis in it.
Emergency
Ray,
QB, Ray Lucas Tom at the end Tupa.
Of yeah.
Tom Tupa.
Yep. Tupa, number 19.
How about that? He's older than
What's the odds Bill shows up on time?
He's 52.
I'm going to go over.
He's 10 minutes late already.
He's 12 minutes late.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah, he's not showing up till 11.
Would you think this was a planned segment, having you talk about the monkey on the dog in
that's
Denver?
That's a good one. Yep. It's either that or we could read Jimmy Stewart tweets at Beatle where he's chirping him about his Houston pick from last week. Who's Felger? Wait, next Monday, Felger Maz. It's Colts. Colts week? Taking the Colts? That's cool that they could change week to week, though. Like you're going to root for the Texans, and you're going to root for San Diego.
You can't root for the Texans anymore.
I know
they're
what
out.
That's about.
Jimmy, I know, but then
Jimmy's trying to chirp like me next back week. Because I was chirping the Felger Maz show yesterday on Twitter.
Oh, you, hey, at the end, we'll give out the number to keep calling him if they're giving anything away later.
I saw that. Why'd you do that?
You're just messing with Lanny when you
yeah,
do
all
that.
You're doing
don't
is
tweet
is
it, Lanny.
Really
don't
Lanny.
Don't tweet it to Zoo in there, Lanny. Lanny had the time to actually tweet that, please stop calling the show.
We gave away the tickets. We gave away the tickets.
Yeah, tickets are gone.
Okay. We got more tickets tonight. Toby Keith.
How was your night last
night? Again?
Toby Keith, 8 to 10 tonight at Patriot Place.
God. How was your night?
Field passes again?
Okay, so here, we gave it away last night at Bar Louie.
Anybody show up?
Yes, and we're doing it again tonight.
Pack.
Two tickets to the game on Sunday.
Yeah.
Parking pass. Nice. It's another worth $50, right?
Oh, yeah.
Two field passes. Go down onto the field before the game. I believe the Bud Light contingency will be down there walking around on the field before the game. So you get to go down there on the field before the game. Autographed Tom Brady football with certificate of authenticity. We had it all there last night. We'll have it all there again tonight. Passes to the hall. Brian Morey came by, hooked us up with a bunch of passes so you can go to the hall at Patriot Place. And a Patriots hoodie. All to one person. One person gets everything.
Oh, it's one hoodie. It's one grand prize.
One person gets everything.
Oh, I thought you spread it out.
Nope. One person gets everything.
Happy New Year.
Toby Keith's tonight. Patriot Place, 8 to 10.
Country
Must
music.
Be present to win.
Country music.
We'll do the drawing right before 10 o'clock. Got to sign up by like 9:45, and then we'll do the drawing a few minutes before 10 o'clock.
Go in there, have some beer out of a mason jar. You can't beat that. Great night.
Yeah. Yeah, it's another good one. And then there's a couple tomorrow, too. I'll find out where they are. But I think Big Jim and Adam Jones are out tomorrow.
Jones is going on location to give stuff away?
Split squad tomorrow night, yeah.
And he signed a bill yet? Still nothing.
I was told he should be really close, but we'll see.
Zach in the car. Zach.
Yeah, hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. I think that this is going to be a two-score game for the Chargers. When I go through all the skill positions in the D-line, I'm coming up favorite Chargers with the advantage. So I think this is their game to win. But going back to Beal's point on Brady being great, if the Patriots win, it will be because Tom Brady had the game of his life and was great on Sunday.
Well, I don't know about game of his life, but I'll agree with you on the great part. They need Tom Brady to be great. He hasn't been great over the course of the season. He's been great in stretches. They need him to be great on Sunday. I think anything less than you're looking at a game where it's going to be a real uphill climb, hard to win. Brady has to be one of those things on Sunday that you bank on as being a great part of what they're doing. That's it. It's pretty simple.
He's got his mental acumen in this game has got to be almost near perfect. And I say that because the Chargers gave you that wrinkle last week. I don't think they're going to go 7 DBs and have guys coming down to play the mic position. I think that's more or less to chase Lamar Jackson around a little bit. Brady's got to be able to get them to get them into nickel runs in those situations. So he's got to have check with me's built in to where, okay, if we got a pass call, dude, we can't throw it here. I got to run it. We got to be able to push this team around a little bit. So it's got to be that type of back and forth. Good mental game from Brady here.
Okay, we're gonna stay right here. We're continuing to wait for Bill Belichick.
This is great.
It's absurd.
I love this.
It always burns us.
I love it. I love it because like our whole back end of this half hour is gonna be all spots.
This is unbelievable.
Here's the question I have.
20 minutes late?
Is Phil Perry there covering this?
He's gonna come
if he is, he's not making it here on time.
Yeah, he's not coming here. Making it here on time. No way. He might. Benenson said he'd come in.
We had a shot of the double doors there on our simulcast.
Yeah,
just the double doors waiting for.
Are they going to somebody?
It got quiet, and then it got really loud again with the reporters all talking. So who knows?
Are they going to have somebody open it? Like one of the ex-players, like somebody in a red jacket, open it up.
Yeah, just staring at these doors. This is great. I could sit here and just stare. Like, what's going to happen?
Who's on the other side of the door?
When's it going to happen?
Would you pick the
door?
Door be?
When's the door going to open?
Look at this. Does this happen anywhere
Where
else?
Is he just hanging out behind that door?
You know what? What's that guy's name? The new guy who went to Cincinnati? Chuck Taylor?
Who?
Zach Taylor. They want to hire him, but the Rams are still alive.
Oh, okay. I wonder if they'll be hanging on press conferences for Zach Taylor like this on Cincinnati.
Is he 34, 35?
As they eat their chili on top of spaghetti.
Cincinnati chili.
Yeah, it's with onions. Raw cut white onions. That's a thing out there. A lot of cheese. Put some cheese on top of it, too. Shredded cheese. Cheddar. Maybe think about it.
Chili, that sounds like something you would like.
But chili really is. You take the beans out of it. It's really a meat and tomato sauce based meal.
Yeah.
In a bowl. So why not throw spaghetti? Why is it so weird? People think they're strange for doing that.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey. Don't wash the lucky socks.
Rub your ball 16 times.
Yep. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
The good news is Bill Belichick hasn't spoken yet.
I love this time of year.
We didn't miss anything.
Feels like playoffs now. It's right inside. He's got to finish his nacho plate. Maybe Lorraine from New Hampshire sent down some special playoff nachos. Takes a while to heat that cheese up.
With the jalapenos.
Yeah.
Be amazing.
Jalapenos.
Go for a big plate of jalapeno nachos right now.
Maybe give those heathens an extra slice of cheese pizza down there. Feed them more. Take care of them for waiting, hanging around.
Jeez. Wow. Hard out there. Hard. Is he there?
Yep.
Bill Belichick. All right. He's there.
Friday turnout. This is it. Sell seats. Yeah. Okay. What do we got going here today?
story. Just
yeah, I know his family. Yeah, yeah. It's obviously sad to hear that.
How has the last 2 days? He had the full pads Wednesday, and then get some little snow flurries and playoff weather yesterday. How has the team responded just to the week of work from that view?
Yeah, big challenge, obviously. Get ready for the Chargers. Good football team. Great football team. A lot of work to do. Still got a little more time, but we're gaining on it. We'll be ready to go.
Well, as Tom has played longer and longer, the gap between him and his teammates age-wise has gotten bigger and bigger, obviously, to the point where it's unique in sports. Like, how do you see him handle that, I guess, or, you know, still be able to connect to teammates and related teammates like that, but now he's 15 years older than some of them?
I think when you get out on the field, football is football. So, dealt with the same thing. And you know, you call a play, and I think anybody looks at how old somebody is, or you know, everybody has an assignment, a job to do. Hopefully you can go out there and do it well and help your team win. I think Tom's well respected off the field for his preparation. He obviously does a tremendous job at that, so you'd have to ask the players that. I don't know.
You haven't expressed a great deal of confidence in the weather forecasting of the past, but it looks like Sunday's going to be 20s. Is that an advantage playing a team from L.A., warm weather team?
They're a good football team. I think it's we're playing the Chargers. We're not playing the weather. Whatever it is, it is.
So zero advantage there, Coach?
Yeah. Going to be on the same field.
What's your biggest concern about their defense getting to Tom Brady on the edge?
They have a good defense, period. So they cover well. They rush well. Pursue well. They're well coached. They have a good scheme. So we're gonna have to execute whatever we do at a higher level than they do to be successful. So, and that's a big challenge. It's a good football team. They're good in all three areas.
Bill, it's been a long week. I know personally I'm tired of talking about the game. I want to see it played already. I imagine it's even more so for you guys. And dealing with anxiety and the build up to the game, is that more of a challenge this week than in the past? Or how do you deal with that?
Yeah. Sorry to put you through it. Sure, it's a normal week for us. I mean, they played on Sunday. We didn't find out who we were playing until Sunday night. It's been really a Sunday-to-Sunday preparation for us. We couldn't prepare for anybody last week. It was one of three teams. So, you know, it is what it is.
How impressed have you been with Sonny Michel this season, just from a ball security standpoint?
He's done a good job. Yeah, he's done a good job. Ball security's been a lot better for us in the last, you know, it was bad in the early part of the year. It's gotten better. It needs to be good at this time of year. Hopefully it will be.
Is that some work on this week to week in practice as well?
Everybody works on it every week. We work on it since the first day we walked out on the field in the spring. Every day in training camp, every day in the season. There hasn't been a day this year we haven't worked on ball security. Or taking the ball away. There's nothing more important than that, other than points. But ball security and ball possession is... So it's the very top of the list. Work on it every single day.
With his history of fumbling in college, was that something you made a priority when he arrived? Something you saw as
a priority for everybody. It's the amount of care for in the league, 20 years, 10 years, or one game. It's a priority for everybody who touches it. That's our football team needs that. If we don't have it, then we're probably not going to win. So it's a priority for everybody.
Tom talked about something similar where he said when he does throw interceptions, there's a high rate of winning. How do you manage not taking risks, you know, to prevent that sort of turnover while also being aggressive and trying to, you know, get chunk plays and get big plays and stuff like that?
Yeah, and there's a lot of factors that go into that, and they're all important. So try to do as many of them right as you can.
Bill, the Chargers used a lot of seven defensive backs last week, six defensive backs. You've done that in your career, like when you played the Rams in the Super Bowl or way back Giants, Bills. Do you go back and look at some of those games and how the offense responded at all, just when you have sets with six and seven defensive backs?
All right, they've been doing that here for multiple weeks. It was seven against the Ravens, but that was because Brown got hurt. But it's been six. It was six against us last year, so... I mean, there's plenty of film of them using six defensive backs. Now, they used five when they had all their linebackers healthy at the beginning of the year, but that hasn't been, you know, White got hurt, Perriman got hurt, then Brown got hurt at the end of the season. So, you know, obviously, Coach Bradley's done a great job of utilizing his personnel and getting people, his best players, in position to play. I mean, they're... They've been doing it. I don't understand what the big... I don't know. Right now, I'm just trying to worry about getting ready for the Chargers. I'm trying to analyze trends in the league. I have no idea. What's important to us is what happens this week, what we do, what they do. That's really all I'm focused on.
You didn't play much split safety coverages, or are they mostly post safety?
Mostly post safety. They do play some split safety coverages, but it's much higher percentage of post safety coverages.
How has Gordon looked to you since coming back from the MCO, the right leg?
Looks good. All their backs look good. Their backs are... They play on all three downs. They can catch. They can run. They can run after the catch. They're hard to tackle. Whichever guy's in there is a problem. Usually it's just one, but sometimes there are two of them. I don't want to say it doesn't make any difference. It does make a difference, but they're all good. So I don't think you can... you can't minimize any of them. They're all explosive. They've all made big plays for him. Jackson's in there in some of the end of the game, biggest plays of the year for him, and making plays. So I'm sure they have great confidence in him, which I can see why. Certainly Eckler and Gordon have made their share of big plays too. So, I mean, they lead the league in yards after catch, two guys on the same team. So it's, you know, speaks for itself. They've been very productive.
All right, that is Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. We will hear from Tom Brady coming up around 1 o'clock. Phil Perry is in studio with us here at 98.5 The Sports Hub.
What's going on, boys?
Phil, good to see you.
Electric presser this morning with Bill.
It's packed. Packed time.
I'm sure there's a lot of people there.
There are. A lot of stuff said.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
I mean, I would say, who doesn't? I mean, I haven't been half of my friends who've talked to me said, yo, you're playing San Diego. And I'm just like, oh, it's L.A. But I said it a few times, too. But, I mean, you know, it's the Chargers.
San Diego, Superchargers of Los Angeles.
San Diego, Chargers
of Los Angeles.
San Diego,
Superchargers of Los Angeles.
San Diego.
Los Angeles.
Bill Perry with us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Bill Perry of NBC Sports Boston. Before we get to talking about this game with Phil, I want to remind you that Patrice Bergeron and Tutcher and Rich have announced Pucks and Paddles. It's the second annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. Thursday, February 7th at Royale Boston. Bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins player, Tutcher and Rich, Wallach, myself, Scott Zolak. VIP tickets, $200. That gives you all the access to the autograph session with the team. And general admission, $50 for all the information and to buy your tickets. Go to our website, 985thesportshub.com. That's 985, the numbers, thesportshub.com. All right, Phil, let's get to a couple questions that we did on this show yesterday.
Okay.
About the game, and then we've got a third one for you that's specific to Phil Perry.
Okay.
Question number one, which matchup in the game are you most confident the Patriots will win on Sunday?
I'm most confident about the Patriots' secondary against these Chargers receivers,
wow,
believe it or not.
Wow.
I think the Patriots' secondary has been a little bit underrated over the course of the season. I think they match up well specifically with this group's skill set. Now, it is an interesting matchup. It's a little unique because their best receiver, Keenan Allen, his target share is basically a 50-50 split slot and outside.
See, that's interesting because of lack of speed on the outside. I'm not saying they're slow, but you know what I'm saying. This isn't...
Mike Williams is a good athlete,
yeah, but
and
you're
is
not
a
chasing
down
Juju.
The field threat. You're not chasing Juju, but Williams is a stud, and we'll get to him, but Allen, I think, has to be Gilmore's guy this week. He dominates so significantly in terms of the number of targets that Phillip Rivers has distributed over the course of the season. He is so far and away their number one guy that you just have to make it simple on yourselves, I think, and put your best guy on their best guy. Plain and simple.
Which is pretty much what they've done all year long. The Patriots have done it this way.
It is, but the one comparison I would make in terms of how they use Allen, again, inside and out, would be Minnesota's Adam Thielen. So Thielen, similar guy, a lot of time in the slot, spends some time outside as well. And what did the Patriots do with him that week? They doubled him with Jason McCourty and Devin McCourty, or Jason McCourty and Daron Harmon, for the majority of that game. And Gilmore traveled with Diggs. So do they do something similar because they want to keep Gilmore on the outside as much as possible? Because if Allen is inside, he's easier to double that way. You have more help that way. And so maybe they try to do it that way. I wouldn't do it that way. I put Gilmore on Allen. I would put J.C. Jackson on Mike Williams. Williams, is their down-the-field guy. He's averaging, I think, over 15 yards a catch their last three games. And J.C. Jackson has been really good as a down-the-field type of corner. You mentioned Juju. Remember that pass breakup on the goal line late in that game against Pittsburgh? J.C. Jackson all over it. The pick at the end of the Vikings game, again, down by the goal line, deep throw from Kirk Cousins. J.C. Jackson right there. Devin McCourty told me after that Vikings game, J.C. Jackson's the best tracker of the football they have had in their secondary since he's been here. It's almost a decade.
Wow.
That's so when he sees the football and he wants to go get it, he does it better than anybody they have had.
More so than Revis, huh?
Wow.
That's what he said. So you put your down-the-field guy, big guy, little handsy, yes.
Very handsy.
Very handsy, but...
Great for the playoffs.
Get a load of this.
Isn't that good with a mixed crew, though?
Great for the playoffs.
Mixed crews have proven to sort of keep the flag in their pants.
Agree with all that. Plus,
keep it in your pants.
Keep it in your pants.
I want a sign on Sunday from someone. Hey, refs,
yep, don't
keep
pull
it
out.
In your pants.
Don't pull it out. Don't pull it out.
He hasn't been penalized since week 7. So for all the snaps he's played, and his role has increased significantly.
You better knock out some wood.
He has not been penalized since week 7. So I love those two guys on those two players, and then you can handle the third Williams however you want. But I feel good about this Patriots secondary if I'm a Patriots fan this
week. All right. You know, Jim is not feeling confident at all about the Patriots secondary. The size concerns him.
But it keeps Jim up at night.
And
Gilmore against Williams concerns me, but if he's on Allen, that doesn't concern me.
All right. So you're already helping Jim come around to the Patriots side of things in this game. We'll get to who it is that you believe will win this game coming up. But on top of that, so you've given us what you are most confident in the Patriots to do.
Mm.
Reverse that. Give us the opposite. Which matchup are you banking on the Chargers winning?
Their edge guys against your tackles.
That's mine.
That's pretty easy
for
me.
That's the one that I said yesterday.
I would be very concerned. Now, Marcus Cannon got hurt in that game last year against the Chargers when they did have both Ingram and Bosa. He was hurt going into that game, as a matter of fact. So he had a bad ankle. But Joey Bosa made work of Marcus Cannon that day. And he only had one sack, but it was pressure after pressure after pressure. Brady under duress for the majority of that game. I think he was pressured on almost half a snap.
Cannon has been pretty good up to the big challenging edge guys, whether it's been Mack in the past when he was with the Raiders, a couple other guys. I mean, even on the outside with Buffalo, with Hughes and, you know, Williams, when they would kick him out or they'd run some of those games. Marcus Cannon has been better than advertised.
He's been okay, yeah, I would say, but their strength.
He's winning the battle, but I'm like, Just win 70% of them.
But so their strength as tackles, both Cannon and Brown, is their strength, their size.
Yeah.
They're big guys. They run block well when they're, you know, when they're doing it consistently. And I'm talking about Brown there for the most part.
And I know we're on TV and I'm showing, but Cannon doesn't extend and get up high and on the back of his heels like most tackles do in this league. And that's where Bosa's really good getting upfield, and he spins back inside up underneath because he gets the tackle leaning. I don't think Trent Brown really leans that much either. He may reach, but I don't recall many times this year where either of these two, Trent or Marcus, have been on their heels on roller skates falling backwards.
The hard thing about these guys is that they're not just speed guys and they're not just power guys on the edge, Bosa and Ingram. They're both. So they have a variety of moves they can use, whether it's quickness, speed, power, speed to power, and they can beat you in a lot of different ways. So I think the Patriots are really going to have to give them some help. And I think Rob Gronkowski is a guy you could see pass blocking in this game, at the very least chipping, more than we've ever seen him. Because to me,
Which makes him less of a factor in the passing
game. Well, for me, he's not going to be a factor in the passing game to begin with. So be willing to sacrifice that matchup. Be willing to say, okay, you know what? If they're sticking Derwin James on Rob Gronkowski, we don't feel great about that. But if Derwin James is watching Rob Gronkowski, and Rob Gronkowski is staying in to help block Joey Bosa, and that means Derwin James is just sitting there looking at a guy who's blocking instead of covering someone that we actually want to throw to, that's a win for us. We give help to our tackle. We take Derwin James out of the equation. Let's keep Rob in. So I think this could be a game where you see him just staying in. And we've seen a lot of it lately. But you see him staying in, again, chipping and going into the flat, or just staying in period to make sure those guys stay off of Brady.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
This helps my emotions.
Zulak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Lido missed the boat that day. He left the shack. But that was all.
Sunday. Get the place going.
Taking your calls as well. 617-779-0985.
Giving out lessons for Sunday.
Next stop, Chi-Town, Leo,
starting to fill, Phil. Phil and Phil.
These are not the same thing. We've been over this before.
Yeah, quit breaking
my balls.
Sounds
like the same word to me.
Yes. Phil and Stop breaking my balls on a Mr. Sid sail. It's not a boat.
It's a sail.
It's a sail.
Sail. Like Chris Sale.
He's feeling it. Nope.
It's good. Air bass song,
no
Phil.
Bass.
Come on, Phil. Come on, Phil.
My computer off.
Yes. Yo, we break it?
Yeah.
Sorry. It's broken.
Yeah. Yeah, it's officially broken.
Just that little tap on the table?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's
very, very probably crap to begin with then. Not our fault. You hurt your hand a little bit?
Stop playing things. Jesus.
Phil, I get the sense you're not picking the Patriots to win on Sunday.
No, actually I am.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I am.
Good.
I am. Close
anybody,
game.
Anybody on a beat picking the Chargers?
I think so. Yeah, I've gotten the sense that it's 50-50. Like
Foley,
I mean, I've
Foley
had a hard time.
Defensive on Twitter today. People are like ripping at me like, what are you talking about? Here's my post. I pick the Patriots by three.
Yeah.
If this game were neutral site, who wins?
Chargers.
If this game were if the Chargers had some semblance of a home field.
If it's in LA, if it's in Carson, California.
Chargers.
Chargers.
Yeah. That's how I feel. The advantage here, and it's a big one, is the home field. That for the Patriots is a major advantage. It's a major advantage for pretty much all teams at this time of year. That to me is enough of a swing to get it from being a 3-point Chargers win to a 3-point Patriot win.
And I don't think the weather is a huge thing, but
I don't either.
I will share though.
It's fun though.
Talking to someone from the team on the sidelines before the game down in Miami.
Yeah.
Talking about how the roof is set up there with the overhang and you get the shade if you're on the home sideline at that place. At a 1 o'clock game, but you don't if you're on the road.
Same applies in Foxborough.
Well, but the conversation was about building in advantages for yourself, and they were weather-related advantages.
Mm-hmm.
This person was like, we'd do the same thing if we were down here. So the implication being, you get a little, even if it's the smallest, slightest edge because of the weather, it's something.
Yeah, do you know what I think the edge is with weather? I think it's when you build a lead. And I'll tell you why. If you get to a point where you're up 2 touchdowns on a team and it's 20 degrees out, you can get that team to say, oh, the hell with it. Like, it's 20 degrees outside and I'm not dealing with it. They start to fold. It's easier to fold under those conditions. But you're not winning the game because it's cold out.
No, you're not.
You don't quit from the get-go because it's cold out.
Definitely not.
If you have a second-half lead, you can sometimes see a team start to fold because of it. Because they've been out there for 3 hours or 2 hours and they've just had enough of it. They're not used to it. But that doesn't dictate it from the start of the game.
The only other time I could see it popping up just very quickly, Philip Rivers really likes throwing off his back foot. He likes throwing with pressure on him.
Yeah.
He likes floating it up in the air. You see that pass to Antonio Gates on the crossers, though, that hung up in the air for about 4 seconds?
Reminded me of Chad Pennington.
That's not going to work. If it's windy at all here, those types of throws are ones that get you in trouble.
He likes to throw the deep intermediate stuff like he's throwing a screen. You know, when you're taught as a screen guy, you know, the art of the screen pass is to sit in a pocket, you set, bait, start to drift, fade, and then just kind of throw just opposite on the other side of the defender. It's coming in your face. And you get it to the back as opposed to what he does. He'll do that, throw it 15 yards downfield.
Well, and he's a tremendous anticipatory thrower, which I think is what you're referencing. And that's part of the reason why he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the league this year.
All right, so do the Patriots offensively have enough to stress the Chargers' defense? That's a question we wanted to get to.
I don't think they have enough to stress it to the point where they're scoring in the mid-20s, honestly. I really don't. I think this game is going to be won in the low 20s. Wow. It might even be in the teens. I just feel like when you look at this defense, it's cover three for the most part. Now, they were here last year, and the Chargers, like every other team just about, they play Tom Brady, and they say, we can't just do what we do because Brady's going to cover us up. So last year, they come in, they play their cover three, yes. They play cover one, they play man. They played some cover four, it looked like, at times. They played some too high safety stuff at times just to mix it up to try to confuse the Patriots. But they're playing cover three. Where are the soft spots on the cover three? Where are the soft spots in any single high defense?
Backers, middle.
Well,
seams.
So the underneath stuff for sure.
What about the running back seam we haven't run or they haven't called? Like right up the seam in Pittsburgh.
So that's one of them. So that's one of the soft spots, and you don't have that seam guy right now. You have Gronkowski physically on your roster, but is he the same kind of guy that can stress you? Even Martellus Bennett, that Falcons game.
Yeah.
Cover one, cover three.
That's right.
Bennett up the seam had a bunch of big plays up the seam that day. The other area is outside, right? So cover three, corners on the outside have a lot of ground to cover. And again, the Falcons game, we can reference that one.
Malcolm Mitchell.
How did they move that ball down the field? Chris Hogan, Malcolm Mitchell hitches
sidelines
on the outside by the boundary. How do you feel about your receivers this year? I don't know. Do you feel good about those matchups against a secondary that has a lot of good players, a lot of talented guys? So underneath, I think you feel good about.
They seem to figure it out, though. You know, I mean, they find a way to get productive. I don't.
Well, they do, and I think they will hit. They will hammer. They'll hammer the underneath stuff. They'll hammer the stuff to the running back.
That's a big one for Josh.
It is. You got to get creative. You have to try to overload some of these guys when they are playing those zones. Yeah. So I think you'll see things like, and we saw it sometimes. We saw it at times against the Chargers last year. We've seen it against defenses like the Jaguars in the AFC Championship game last year, where outside guy will run a post. Try to take that corner with him, take him deep, back underneath, runs into the flat, gets that flat defender, and then all of a sudden the back turns it upfield on a wheel route. And you try to beat that guy up the sideline. Danny Amendola had a big fourth down catch on a wheel route against the Jaguars last year. Those are the kinds of things you can do. They know how to beat it. They know what schemes and what plays can beat this style of defense. The question is, do you have the talent to execute those types of plays? And they have the back talent for sure. It's going to be a big game, I think, for James White, Rex Burkhead, no doubt.
Should be.
But are the Chargers willing to give that stuff up, saying to themselves, we just don't want to get beat for any kind of explosive plays. You can dink and dunk on us
but then that's
for
you,
7 yards at
that's
a clip
you play
all the way down
DBs
the field.
Again in. So if they're going to go that nickel they played in Baltimore last week, then you got to shove it down their throat with the run.
I think you got to dink and dunk all the way down the field and just keep doing it.
And control the ball.
That's it. Just keep doing it.
And then you get into the red zone and you hope the running game is working for you.
That's where things get a little more interesting.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Pick a Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.